So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. It is so great to be with you. I hope you had a restful weekend. Always a reminder as we come off of a Sunday, and hopefully as Catholics, that has renewed and created a new perspective for us as we head into the week. Sunday, as we know, is meant to be a day of rest, rejuvenation, recovery, a time to delight in the Lord and to be delighted in by God. How can we be delighted in by God on Sundays? Well, I think the first and foremost, the way we can do that is by worthily receiving Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most holy Eucharist. That is the opportunity to be delighted in with our Lord, to be united with our Lord in such an intimate and perfect union. And so I want to encourage you as you kick into this week and you have all week long to prepare for Sunday, really ponder, how can I live this coming Sunday truly honoring the commandment to keep holy the Lord's day, to set aside time for rest? You know, I'm just giving an example. I really needed to go to Costco. I didn't have time to kind of get everything I needed to done. And I needed to go, and I kept thinking, oh man, I'm gonna have to go on Sunday. And even yesterday, I'm like, okay, we're gonna be low on food this week in terms of what we need, but that's okay. You know, I'm not going to go to Costco on Sunday. And it's so simple, but I'm so glad I didn't go. And here's why, because it's the whole ordeal, taking the baby, going, packing, taking everything with us. And it also takes a chunk of the day away from enjoying Sunday that the Lord is saying, like, I've given you this day to delight in me and for me to delight in you. And that can mean doing great, fun things. Like, we ended up going to the lake yesterday. We probably wouldn't have gone to the lake if we insisted on going to Costco. Now, that's where we have to kind of start to try and figure out, well, what is, for example, restful on a Sunday? Does that include cooking? Does that include grocery shopping? Does that include going out to eat? You know, there's so many things that we could ask. And I remember some guidelines that people have given me before is try not to employ other people on Sundays. Like, try not to make other people work on Sundays. And I think it's a good idea. Can you do it perfectly? No. Do I love to go out to eat on a Sunday? Yes. You know, in the picture perfect world, none of these restaurants will be open on Sundays, and therefore we wouldn't have the option. But also, it is nice to take the opportunity to go out to eat. I'd be fascinated. Maybe you can share what you do to rest on Sundays. What are activities that you like to engage in? The number is 1-888-914-9149. You're joining us during our weekly happy hour on Trending. Why is this important? Well, it's important because it's one of the fundamental and first commandments that God gives us. Keep holy the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, the day of resurrection. Do we take this seriously? And I'm talking about it today, Monday, during our weekly happy hour, because we have 6 days to prepare ourselves to truly celebrate and keep holy the Lord's day and to start taking this more seriously. So that means getting things done maybe today that you would otherwise do on Sunday. Number is 1-888-914-9149. I'd love to hear from you. What is getting in the way of your happiness, and what do you do to rest on Sundays? Number is 1-888-914-9149. I think this is a really important question because so often we make excuses for, well, I run out of time and I'm so exhausted. That's getting away the happiness of my happiness. I never have time to spend time with my spouse. You know, there's so many things that people could complain as to why they're struggling in their own life. But I think that keeping holy the Lord's day is a fundamental teaching that can help us to truly live out the commandment of God. And remember, when we follow the commandments of God, we're happier. What's the first commandment? first and foremost, we're called to have no other idols, to only take God as our first and foremost. That God is our God, to have no strange gods before him. And then to keep holy the Lord's name. This is one we tend to struggle with. You know, there's a culture. I was just talking to someone about this the other day. There's a culture of saying, oh my God, when we're shocked. Or saying, oh my God, when we are just doing something dumb or surprised. And we're actually taking the Lord's name in vain in that moment. Let's try to only say, oh my God, when we are in awe by the majesty of God and we are praising and thanking him. You see, so then the next commandment is to keep holy the Lord's day, to keep holy the Sabbath day. The first three commandments help orient us to a proper relationship with God. When we have our relationship in order with God, everything else falls into place. I've said it many times before. I'll never forget when I was in college and someone encouraged me, you know what? Stop doing homework on Sundays. Other than some meditative theology readings, I studied theology in school. I stopped doing homework on Sundays. I didn't write papers. I mean, let me tell you, this was a sacrifice. We were reading multiple books per week, giant academic books. And guess what? God duplicates your time. When you set aside time to honor him, when you truly do, he duplicates time. He duplicates blessings. It's the same way with the idea of tithing. When we tithe and when we give 10%, even when it's really difficult, even when we are stretching our pennies in order to make that tithing of 10% happen, God rewards us tenfold. Now, that shouldn't be the reason for why we tithe, but that is what's at the heart of, you see, God is never outdone in generosity. I've been reminded of this a few times recently in the last few weeks, and I have to remind myself, even when I don't maybe feel like I'm receiving benefits from God and like a special gift or whatever it might be, you know, whatever for you, think of a recent blessing you had where you said, thank God, wow, God is so generous. But then think of those times of desert where you're struggling. I'm struggling here. I don't think that I am in a place where I can say, oh, thank you, Lord, that you are never outdone in generosity. Remind yourselves of those moments of his generosity. There's times of great gift and abundance, but there are also times where God allows us in our challenges, in our weaknesses, in our neediness, whatever it might be, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in those moments that we can actually rely more upon him and appreciate his generosity all the more. That even the need allows us to love him, and the need allows us to see all the great and good things that he's given us. You're listening to Trending with Timmer. I'd love to hear from you. What do you do to rest on Sundays, to keep holy the Lord's day? From prayer to fun activities of cultivating life and rest and recreation. We have phone caller Tino from Salt Lake City sharing with us what he did this Sunday. Tino, what did you do on Sunday?
I went with my son to play softball.
Oh, how fun. I love that.
Well, the first thing I did, though, that when I first woke up, though, there's a mass at St. Jude's at 7:30, so we went to mass there, and then I like to come home and have breakfast, and then sometimes I like to, there's a priest I like to listen to a lot. His name's Father Galea, Father Rob Galea. I don't know if you ever heard of him. I listen in on his homily. I like to listen on his homily. Then we decided to go to, my son called me up and asked me if I wanted to go play softball. I haven't done that for years, but I don't know if it was kind of fun, but then at my age, I probably punished my body for it from it.
Are you sore today, or are you waiting for that third day soreness?
No, I started to fall apart after an hour.
You know, I love this. And it just took an invitation from someone like, hey, do you want to go play softball? And something so simple that is so much better, I think, often than what we tend to do on Sundays. Let's play catch up with all the other things that we didn't get done through the rest of the week. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to hear from you if you've done something this Sunday that has allowed you a little bit more time to rest and recuperate. You know, something I will say we've done that's a little different, but, you know, we've changed our mass schedule from all summer long. Normally, we go to mass at about anywhere from 11 to the 12:30 mass, because we go to the Latin mass usually. But we decided, you know, this summer, let's make sure that we're going to mass first. We'll fast before mass, because it used to be the tradition of the church that you'd fast. You wouldn't eat until after you went to Sunday mass. It's a real reason to go to an early mass. And then we would also have more time to relax. Because sometimes in the middle of the day with a baby, she's a little more fussy with mass, and it can be more distracting. So let's offer our best in our first to our Lord, try to fast to, you know, pave our way into an earlier mass, and then use the rest of the time wherever we might go or whatever we do resting at home to really relax and delight in the gift of the day that the Lord has given us. So you have 6 days. What are you going to do this Sunday to keep holy the Lord's Day? That's my encouragement to you during this weekly happy hour. My one nugget of really transforming your life and hoping to remember that it's the commandments that really do transform our lives. God gave them to us for a reason. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. Coming up, I'll discuss the next 40 Days for Life campaign that kicks off this Wednesday. I was going to say January. It's not December. It is September 22nd. We'll kick off with the next 40 Days for Life campaign. If you've never participated, never heard of it, or if you've heard of it and not participated, trust me, this is your opportunity. Also, we're going to be running our Virtue series this week. The virtue is fortitude. So join me. I'll be right back here on Trending. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. If you've never joined us for a weekly happy hour, it's all about joy. Why joy and not happiness? Well, happiness is fleeting. It's transitory. Happiness is an emotion that comes and then it goes. Sorrow is an emotion that comes and then it goes. Giddiness. All of these are emotions that for some reason we've defined our life based on emotion. I feel depressed, ergo, therefore I shall be depressed. And I identify as depressed. All of these are examples of why we want joy. Joy is a virtue. Joy is a virtue rooted in God. Now today, and if you want to know the difference between happiness and joy, we've done a number of shows on that. You can actually go ahead and listen to those. We'll post a link to one of those discussing the difference between happiness and joy if you're new to this hour. Because today I want to talk about virtue, specifically the virtue of fortitude, and we're also going to talk about hope today, both of which are virtues. Also coming up, I'll discuss 40 Days for Life, finding happiness in our lives, and how that can be discovered through fasting, prayer, volunteering, and service. But let's continue our virtue series. If you are new to Trending, the last 4 weeks, this is week four, we've been going through a different virtue each week. We're walking through the four cardinal virtues. We did prudence, justice, temperance, and now this week is the virtue of fortitude. Now, why these four virtues? Because they're the four cardinal virtues. Cardinal virtues are the virtues upon which all the other virtues rest upon, depend upon, find a root in. So let's get a working definition for the virtue of fortitude, which we'll be working on all week long. We're going to have homework. We're going to have tons for us to actually grow in this virtue. Now, first and foremost, I always want to remind you, if you want to grow in a virtue, ask our Lord to give this to you. Pray for the gift of this virtue. But also, start taking practical steps to understand what it is. To start practicing it. To start flagging perhaps areas in our own lives where we struggle to live this virtue out. So this week is fortitude. Now, fortitude is like courage. It actually builds on courage. So St. Thomas Aquinas says fortitude is chiefly about fear of difficult things, which can withdraw the will from following reason. So fortitude has to do with overcoming difficult things. Those difficult things that are barriers and roadblocks to following a moral, reasonable choice that hinder the will from functioning properly. There are trends in our culture that actually have to do with the fact that we're struggling in fortitude. You see, fortitude, another definition I think that would be very helpful for us to ponder, if we look to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, fortitude, as the Catechism says, is firmness in difficulties, constancy in the pursuit of the good. In other words, it helps us to overcome obstacles in the moral life. But here's what's fascinating. Fortitude is firmness in difficulty. The way I like to put it, fortitude is acting in the face of fear. Now, that fear could be a massive fear that you are being asked to either blaspheme and deny God or lose your life. In other words, martyrdom. That you can either worship a fake God, an idol, or a person, and then you can continue to live. You can give up your faith in Jesus Christ, or you can die holding to your faith and die a martyr. That's an example, an extreme example of fortitude. That is acting in the face of fear, even in the face of death, even to the point of death. Or fortitude could also be seen in smaller ways as well. Because really, fortitude has to do with the fact that we overcome difficulties that get in the way of the will choosing the good, choosing the moral and reasonable object. Let's talk about trends in our culture, though, because I think we often struggle with fortitude today. You see, fear has crept into our life in so many ways. One clear example is our immobility in terms of making decisions. My generation, the millennial generation, is actually well known for its lack of commitment, for its laxity in certain areas. In fact, I remember reading an article about a year ago by a psychologist, and she was commenting about how she predominantly works almost exclusively with millennials. And the thing that she sees more often than not with millennials is the fact that they're not making decisions. They're so overwhelmed with all these options that they're kind of imploding and just not doing anything. Well, she said it had to do with being overloaded with so many options and pressure. But I think if we get down to the root of the spiritual life, I think a lot of millennials aren't making choices because they're afraid. They're afraid of potential outcomes. They're afraid of possible outcomes. They're afraid of the difficulty that will come with decisions they make. For example, a lot of millennials aren't just struggling financially because of student loan debt and other types of debt to purchase homes. A lot of millennials are choosing not to purchase homes because they don't want the responsibility of, quote unquote, adulting. In other words, doing everything that an adult would do. I mean, I'll never forget. Oh my gosh, I nearly fell over. I knew how old this woman was because I'm a Pilates trainer. By the way, total side note, if you don't know this, I'm a Pilates trainer, a certified Pilates trainer. I work with spinal injuries, hip knee replacements, and helping to rehabilitate people and get people moving better, feeling better. I also teach fitness classes. Now, here's what's interesting. One of my clients came into me one day, and she was about 36 years old, and she literally used the word adulting referring to herself. Now, if you don't know what adulting is, I'm giving you a terrible example of it in terms of like, this is just, I couldn't understand. She's 36 years old and she said, yeah, she's talking about her weekend. And she said, yeah, you know, spent the whole weekend taking care of stuff for the house. You know, I bought a house a couple months ago and now, you know, I have all these things I have to do, you know, upkeep and taking care of it. She's like, yeah, I'm adulting. Mic drop. Literally, and here's a big deal. She literally referred to herself as adulting because she bought a house and was taking care of her home. You are 36 years old. Like, great. I'm happy for you. You should be excited. Yeah, it is challenging to do upkeep and maintenance on your home and not just call your landlord or your apartment complex manager or whoever. But this is what got me. She was 36 and she was referring to herself as adulting. I don't care if she bought her house for the first time at 36. My problem was there's this problem where we're thinking, well, I have to adult on the weekend. Or I have to do the responsible thing. Why do I bring this up in light of fortitude? Well, because a lot of people use that term, adulting, to refer to doing difficult things that they otherwise would normally avoid. You see, fortitude has to do with acting in the face of fear. And fear could do with little difficult things, hindrances, or it could do with big things, such as being called to be a martyr for your faith. You see, I think millennials, part of the reason why millennials are struggling with this immobility of not wanting to get married, not wanting to even date or commit in a relationship to a long-term relationship, not wanting to buy a house, is because they fear all the what-ifs. And it's not just millennials, it's many of us. We are often driven to do things or not to do things based on what-ifs, possible outcomes. It's interesting because I think often we see things as negatives outweighing the good, taking a pros and cons list, but more so just focusing on what will be difficult about this. And if I see difficulties that don't quite match with what I'm willing to do, well, then that's where a lack of fortitude kicks in. Now, difficulty has to do, especially with focusing on moving the reason and the will together. Often people will think, well, maybe they just don't have hope. Maybe they don't have hope in the possibility that they could get married and live long term in a marriage with someone because they didn't see that in their home environment or they didn't have that modeled to them. Yes, I could see that. Maybe they've lost faith in the institution of marriage. However, and this is important, that's not what fortitude has to do with. It doesn't have to do with things that people have lost hope in. Fortitude has to do with me, myself, and I being willing to overcome the difficult moments of a certain objective. So for example, someone might say, well, I don't want to get married because I don't want to have to be told what I should do on the weekends or with my free time. There are people who say that. They don't want to get married. They'd rather just date someone and have fun because they want to preserve their free time. They want to preserve their hobbies. I'm using these examples because it's important we understand that fortitude does not have to do with lack of examples, lack of hope. It has to do with us not wanting to do difficult things. Now, I think that since I've had the baby, I've struggled a little bit with fortitude. And I realized this because, so this weekend, my husband took a bunch of the photos from our family vacation we took this summer. And we went water skiing a lot. And one of the days when we were going to go water skiing, it ended up pouring rain. Now, I know someone's going to call and say, oh my gosh, you could have been struck by lightning. Yes, I went water skiing in the rain. Okay, that's off the table. We were totally fine. But it was a cold day. It was windy. It was raining. And we went and I'm like, I don't want to go water skiing. It's going to be so cold on the lake and, you know, coming on off of the boat and in and out of the water, it's gonna be freezing. The only reason I didn't want to do it is because I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't want the difficulty of the coldness. And I remember I looked at one of the guys and I'm like, listen, since I got pregnant, I normally wouldn't be a wimp like this. I'm like, normally I would be like, who cares? I'll freeze. This is great. We're gonna go water skiing in the rain. Okay, no, since I've had a baby, I'm like, I just don't want to do uncomfortable things. So I said, you know what? That's why I'm going to do it. I'm so glad I did because I was looking for the first time this weekend at this photo that my husband brought up, and he'd taken all these professional photos, and we're water skiing tandem, side by side, two sets of water skis in the rain. It felt glorious. It wasn't cold. So I was willing to go. Grant, praise the Lord, it wasn't freezing, but I realized I just didn't want to do it because it was going to be difficult. It was going to be cold. It was going to be uncomfortable. How often are we prevented from joys in our life because we're not willing to push through the discomfort, the anticipated difficulty? And I use that because I look at that photo and it is so much fun to look at because I wouldn't have had that memory. I wouldn't have gone water skiing multiple times, multiple laps around the lake, which, by the way, was my first time. My second time water skiing, I did side by side, two of us behind a boat at the same time, which was really cool. I mean, I was a total rookie water skier. I popped up on the first time. I was pretty proud of my, like 6-7 month postpartum body at that point. It was just an absolute blast. But again, this is where we have to see where joy, happiness enters into conversations with regard to virtue. If we are more virtuous, we're going to be able to work on overcoming some of those things that we would otherwise really enjoy if it weren't for the fact that we made some sort of excuse having to do with the hindrance or difficulty in the way. So let's come back to this definition of fortitude, understanding, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, that fortitude is chiefly about fear of difficult things, those things that can withdraw us from actually following reason. The Catechism, as I mentioned earlier, addresses how this is fortitude is firmness in difficulties, constancy in the pursuit of death, and helps us to overcome those obstacles in the moral life. Now, fortitude, I gave an example of the water skiing, might not have to do with the moral life in that instance, but it does have to do with perseverance. And if we're willing to build a habit of regularly doing things that are uncomfortable or difficult, that actually helps us when it comes to larger, more difficult choices we have to make. And that's why the virtuous life is so important. We're building good habits. Now, all of this is important because St. Thomas Aquinas actually talks about how our will is often hindered in two ways from following moral reason, sound reason that has to do with morality. The first thing that we struggle with in terms of a roadblock when we desire to follow reason, but we struggle to do so, is because we're drawn away by pleasures that are pulling us away from doing what is right. So, for example, maybe I'm supposed to go to church tomorrow. I want to go to Mass, right? I'm going to go to noon Mass a weekday. But all of a sudden, I realized I'm at home. One of my favorite TV shows, I'm a little behind on. I really love that TV show. I'm 2 or 3 episodes behind. Instead, I choose to follow my pleasure, stay home, and watch the TV shows, and I don't go to Mass, or I don't pray my rosary, or I skip night prayer, whatever it is. Well, the virtue that we would need in that instance to help us moderate our behavior is temperance. Because temperance in that instance would help remove the hindrance of pleasure that we're having a hard time moderating. Last week here on Trending, we did a whole series on the virtue of temperance, which we'll post a link to the drawn together series that we'll post on podcast this week. So stay tuned. If you're not subscribed, head over to relevantradio.com/trending. Now, the other way that our will can be hindered when it comes to following moral reason is where fortitude steps in. And that is, fortitude will help us when we struggle with this second temptation having to do with our will being hindered. And that is when we're looking at something and because we see that it's difficult, that difficulty is what gets in the way. That we're allowing something that looks difficult to prevent us from doing good, prevent us from following what is reasonable, prevent us from doing what is right. St. Thomas Aquinas says that fortitude of the mind is what is necessary in order for us to overcome this particular hindrance in following right reason. So all of this has to do with addressing those fears, those little fears or those little difficulties. I'm like, I'm just not willing to do that. For example, maybe you wouldn't be willing. And we had a caller call earlier about how he had so much fun playing softball on Sunday. Maybe you wouldn't be willing to go and play softball with your adult son on Sunday because you'd anticipate, man, I'm out of shape. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm going to be sore. I might throw out my shoulder. And you anticipate all these difficulties that haven't even occurred that are recoverable. And so you don't go and delight in playing softball, yet alone having that memory that you can now share with your son. This is where things such as fortitude kick in small and simple ways to help us in the spiritual life. Lucas is reminding me, producer Lucas, of my favorite quote. And I'm so glad you reminded me because I was thinking about it this weekend as I was getting ready. And then I completely forgot to discuss this. Favorite quote, if you are a regular listener of Trending, you better have this memorized or know what I'm about to say. It's Pope Benedict the 16th, Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th. He said, the world offers you comfort. You are not made for comfort. You are made for greatness. This is what we have to remember. When we aren't making decisions, when we're being immobile because of all the difficulties we see that lead us to not choose the good or to delight in the fun, remember, we're made for greatness. Let's take this and twist this in a different perspective. Let's look at how sometimes it seems as if we have the virtue of fortitude, but we really don't. This is actually really important because you might think, well, I do difficult things. Yeah, I do a lot of difficult things. I overcome difficulties all the time. This is where motives kick in. This is where we have to understand virtue isn't fake. Virtue is actually a good habit for the right reasons. Now, a lot of us can do good things, but we can do them for the wrong reasons. So St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa actually discusses how we have to look out for this. For example, this looks like the virtue of fortitude, but it's not. For example, let's say that someone does something, but they're ignorant of the actual danger or the difficulty. So they do what is difficult, but they didn't know it was going to be difficult or dangerous. Well, it wasn't actually a virtuous act because they didn't know. They were ignorant of it. I'm not saying what they did was wrong. It just wasn't virtuous. It didn't have the virtue of fortitude. Or, for example, maybe someone is told about the danger, but they don't see the significance of the danger. So let's say they just do whatever that threatening thing is anyways, but they didn't know what the significance of the danger was, even though they were warned. Also, an act actually isn't virtuous if you're hopeful about overcoming the danger. For example, let's say I am a soldier and I'm trained in incredible gunmanship and I know how to shoot a gun, I know how to protect myself, and I know how to take a life if necessary. A lot of our soldiers go into war, battles, skirmishes, and they are not afraid. Some of them at times are like, this is simple. I'm just standing in front of a building. There's no threat today. I can stand there. And they're, you know, let's say, for example, they're on a military base and they're just standing on the military base and they have the responsibility of just standing in front of a particular building in a military base. I'm not downplaying anything our soldiers do, but I'm just saying they're on their own military base in a safe, peaceful area. Now, them standing there holding a gun, they're not going to be afraid. But you or I, who doesn't have that skill in holding a gun, who wouldn't know what to do if for some reason, even in a safe environment, the thing they're supposed to guard was in threat, we wouldn't know what to do with that. We wouldn't have the training. But a soldier who has a training to be on a peaceful base, on the base, standing guard in front of a door, isn't going to be afraid. But for us, we'd see that as a very virtuous act because we couldn't imagine being in those circumstances because we don't have that training. But for the soldier being on that base, just in front of that door in a peaceful zone, they don't see it in that sense as the virtue of fortitude because they're hopeful. They don't see the danger. There's no danger in that circumstance. So other ways that we can also see that people would think, oh, that's a virtuous act in terms of fortitude, is someone would think, oh, well, that looked Very, very courageous, very fortuitous. And you look and say, actually, they were acting impulsively. The only reason that person jumped off the building is they decided to go bungee jumping because they were upset. They didn't want to be angry anymore because they just broke up with their boyfriend. And so they went bungee jumping. Why not? I'm just going to throw myself in it, into it. So they're doing it for the sake of casting off a sorrow or anger or whatever it might be of an emotion that they're experiencing. We also tend to fake being courageous and overcoming obstacles and difficulties by going after something for the honor of it, for the gain, for the advantage or disadvantage, or for those things, disadvantages that want to be avoided, for blame or pain or loss. So sometimes we do something that would seem courageous or seem difficult just because we don't want to be blamed for not doing it. We don't want the pain of having not done it. Or the loss. So I give all of these examples because fortitude must be built up within us. I think one example that is very common, a lot of people will get frustrated because they say, wow, my adult children, you know, raised them Catholic. They went to Mass with me. They didn't put up any complaints. They even, you know, went to Mass a little bit when they were in college. But now, you know, they're married or whatever state in life they're in, and they're not going to church, and I can't understand why. Well, maybe they were doing it because they were trying to please someone. They didn't want to be blamed for not going to church. They didn't want the pain of the conversations with you about why they didn't want to go to church in high school. They didn't want to have to explain to you when you asked them when they went away to college why they weren't going to church. They kind of just did it to check off a box. Because they were avoiding the displeasure, the disadvantage of having not gone. And then eventually they give up on it, they stop going. This is a great example. You see, they weren't doing the difficult thing of going to church. They were just doing it to please someone else. Because they didn't want the displeasure of the conversations and the circumstances that could be there. And so this is another example where we see the virtue of fortitude sneaking its way in of needing to be fostered and developed. So here's homework for all of us. As we continue this series on the virtue of fortitude, I want to encourage us to pull back and maybe when you're doing your nightly examination of conscience or as an exercise tomorrow morning, here are three things to work on. Two questions and one act of prayer. First, how do I allow fear to render me immobile, indecisive, or silent in life? And that fear doesn't have to be a huge fear. It could just be a small fear of any type of small difficulty. It could be a fear of getting up and going to the gym tomorrow because I don't like the idea of being tired for getting up at 5 a.m. Or I don't like the idea of being sore. Or how do I allow fear to render me immobile, indecisive, or silent? Maybe I don't speak up about my beliefs morally or spiritually, because I fear what other people might think or say. Here's another, your second piece of homework as we're working in this virtue series to grow in the virtue of fortitude. What do I avoid in my life day to day that is difficult that I should be doing? So what are those things that I should be doing, but I avoid them because they're difficult? I get out of them. I pawn them off or just don't do them at all. We all have these things. These are little opportunities to grow in the virtue of fortitude. And so the third thing is I want you to pray for the Lord to grow you in the virtue of fortitude, specifically in these areas you've identified. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I'll be back discussing why we're happier when we are hopeful. And also how we're kicking off the 40 Days for Life campaign coming up this Wednesday. It's your opportunity to participate in the local 40 Days for Life near you. Don't go away. We'll be right back during our weekly happy hour.
You can listen to more of Trending with Timory via the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com/trending. Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The joining us during our weekly happy hour here on Trending. And we've been unpacking the virtue of fortitude. We're doing a week-long series on the virtue of fortitude, growing in virtue. What is this cardinal virtue? And kind of a small summary, fortitude is acting in the face of fear. And it's also acting in the face of difficulties, small difficulties, big difficulties that get in the way of our will following what is reasonable and moral and good. So I wanted to spin this and talk about, during our happy hour, hope. And I want to talk about this because someone said something the other day, and I really do think it ties into fortitude, because when you have one virtue, you have all the other virtues. I mentioned earlier that fortitude isn't a virtue specifically having to do with hope, but here's where we can see an overlap. Someone said the other day that they can face death no problem. That they can face death with the hope of the resurrection and not have a problem when they look at the idea of death, when they ponder their death, or when they ponder the death of their loved ones. That they can take death right in the face and see it, ponder it, whether it's on the cross or a loved one or their own death. And they can ponder it with hope because of the resurrection. Why? Well, this was making me think of a verse from St. Peter's epistle, St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 3. And I want to read a little bit of this, because this has to do with the virtue of fortitude as well and hope. St. Peter in chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Now, is there a harm if you are zealous for what is right?" So he's saying, is there anything that can harm you if you're passionate for what is right? He goes on to say, "But even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them nor be troubled, but in your heart reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you." See, St. Peter is talking about trial and tribulations that people will experience in their life. He's saying nothing can actually harm you. Why? Why? Let's think about this. Why is he encouraging the early church to zealously, passionately live out their faith in the spiritual and moral life? Because nothing can harm them. You may suffer. He's saying, sure, you may suffer for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of what's right, but you will be blessed. Have no fear of them. Don't be troubled by what you experience for living out your faith. He then goes on to say, but in your hearts, in your heart of heart, reverence who? Christ as Lord. He says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Why can we endure, as people of faith, trial, tribulation, persecution? Why? We can for one reason. Because of the triumph of the cross, the conquering of death with life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself from the dead. This all means that you and I can face death with hope of the resurrection. And that is cause for celebration. That is cause for joy. That is cause for peace. This is cause to inspire us in anything we may be called to do, whether that may be tomorrow, in the suffering you will endure in the simplest of ways, but it is a suffering to you and I. When a loved one or a coworker criticizes our faith or blasély speaks up for abortion, and we are called to give an account for the faith that is within us. And sometimes that doesn't mean we're bringing up religion. That means that we're simply, with the virtue of fortitude, speaking about what is right, defending the lives in the womb, the women who are harmed by abortion. Saints know when someone says, "Oh my God, taking the Lord's name in vain," say, yes, God is Lord of heaven and earth. And just see how that sinks in. I think sometimes that's a really good reminder when someone, because I've struggled, we say, "Oh my God," so easily. It's like a joke in our culture. The words, "Oh my God." It should be a prayer. So when someone says that, I say, yeah. Oh my God, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a simple little reminder to not take for granted or ignore the name of God, to take his name in vain, even if we don't know it. It's a one means to help people understand and for us to honor him. Why can we do this? Why can we do this when other people might criticize or take offense at this? And we don't want to do offensive things, of course, but we want to honor God. We can do this because of the hope that is within us. We can endure difficult conversations, difficult responses from other people. We can endure a little egg on our face for the glory of God, because of the triumph of the cross, because of the conquering of death with life. We can do this joyfully. And this is the challenge I think we have. And so I want to bring us to an important conversation that is something that's been ongoing over the last, 15 almost years now. I think this is year 14. And that is the upcoming 40 Days for Life campaign. Why are we talking about 40 Days for Life during our weekly happy hour? Well, there's something very profound about volunteering, about praying and fasting for something in someone other than ourselves. You see, prayer and fasting changes and saves lives. Volunteering, giving of our time, caring for others can transform our life by the gift and donation of ourselves toward others, toward the free gift of self, of sacrificial love, is life-changing for us as well. So 40 Days for Life, if you've never heard of it, is a international campaign now. It started in Texas, here in the United States, and it starts simple. In front of one abortion clinic, 40 days of praying and fasting for an end to abortion. And when I say praying and fasting for an end to abortion, literally going and standing in front of the abortion clinic for 40 straight days. People take turns. Maybe you take 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day, 1 hour a month. Maybe you just take a couple hours peppered throughout the 40 days where you commit to go and physically stand in front of the abortion clinic. You have every right to stand in front of an abortion clinic on a public sidewalk and prayerfully pray for an end to abortion. You don't have to hold a sign. You don't have to talk to anyone. Of course, we should have the attitude that we're there for anyone if they need help, if they approach us. But you simply stand there. You pray for the women who are scheduled for abortions that day and their families, the father, the child. You pray for the abortion workers, the abortionists, anyone who passes by that abortion clinic, that their heart and their mind are convicted, that they ponder and rethink abortion in their own life. You fast. You fast for an end to abortion. You fast for the women who are going into the abortion clinic. You do this for 40 days. Now, however many hours you can commit to, wonderful. It may be 1 hour. It may be 1 hour a week. Patrick, one of our producers here, just commented. He says, I take an hour a week. I think that this is a really great opportunity if you've never gone before. What's great is their goal is to usually have two people at any given hour praying together. So you're not alone. And the goal would be that even if you've not gone before, you can tag team with a friend or go with someone more experienced. You can even contact your local 40 Days for Life organizer. So here's the deal. 40 Days for Life campaigns, I'm sure you know about this, happen all across the nation. They actually happen all over the world now in front of abortion clinics. All you have to do is go to 40daysforlife.com. That's the number 40daysforlife.com. I'll have Lucas go ahead and post a link on social media now to 40 Days for Life, because this is a great opportunity for you with a loved one, with family. Yeah, I'm going out there with my baby girl because it's a great example for people to see a baby in front of the abortion clinic. I'm going and taking my baby girl. We're going to stand out there. We're going to pray. We're going to smile. And I think it's a great example. I've never gone with my baby. I've gone pregnant to an abortion clinic, but with my baby, for a mom to see that you can be happy as a mom with your child, that could be you. To see that baby just a little more developed than that baby in the womb. So I want to encourage you to do two things. One, go to 40daysforlife.com, the number 40daysforlife.com. Look up your city, look up your local 40 Days for Life program, and sign up for 1 hour. Now, it might be 1 hour a week. It could be 1 hour a day. Or it could be 1 hour during the entire 40 Days for Life campaign. But I'm asking you to do something, even if you've never gone before. And if you go for the first time, I would love to hear from you. Call me, write me. I would love to share here on Trending your experience of praying in front of the abortion clinic for the first time. I'll never forget that one of the first times my husband went in front of an abortion clinic. I remember him saying, you know, I didn't grow up in a family that did anything like protesting like you did, Timmarie. I didn't grow up doing things that were, you know, uncomfortable in that sense, you know, public witness. And he said, you know, it's shocking, the idea of it. It's overwhelming, the whole idea. And even, you know, I remember when we were dating, I said, hey, let's go to a walk for life. He's like, what? You know, not that he wasn't pro-life, but this public display was something very new. And maybe that's the case for you. But it's been so awesome to see how important he sees and understands that these things are. That we're literally standing in front of the abortion clinic. We're the last defense between that baby and that mom walking into the abortion clinic and having that abortion. So please, I'm begging you, sign up at 40daysforlife.com. The campaign starts this Wednesday, September 22nd, and it runs all the way until Halloween, October 31st. Pray and fast. I want to encourage you. Remember, this is prayer and fasting. Jesus Christ himself in Mark chapter 9 says that some demons are only cast out with prayer and fasting. So I want to encourage you, offer something up as a fast for an end to abortion or for the women entering your abortion clinic nearby, that their babies will be saved and their lives will be changed.